Thank you so much for joining us today on That Guy's Mom. We're glad you've joined us on this episode. Today we have more insight from That Guy's Mom, who is Ann Mayer. My name is Scott Durbin. I'm the co-host here. Ann is the mother of Matt Mayer, and you can find out a lot more about the Matt Mayer story at www.themattmayerstory.com. And so if you're going through a tough time, or if you, even like today we're going to talk about if you're going through a storm, this is a good place to be and listen to, because we've been there. We've all had storms, and you're going to make it. But Ann, it's good to be with you today as we talk about this and as we've survived a storm.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was thinking there's those moments that you could freeze frame in your mind, like when Kennedy was shot and killed. Everyone knows where they were. It was just such a monumental moment. 911. I can remember exactly what I was doing. Do you remember? Yeah. It's, again, when catastrophe hits like that, you just freeze frame it and it just stuns you into a whole nother realm because it's something so unnatural. And actually, we've had something like that occur recently in our own area. We had a huge hurricane, as many of you obviously watched on television. I had phone calls coming from California.
Yeah, I did too, yeah.
Texas, people concerned, what, you know, how are you guys faring? And it was Hurricane Sandy. And you know what, Scott? I think Hurricane Sandy, for our side of the world, is a game changer.
Yes.
And we have seen in our own community, we were spared, truthfully spared. In fact, if you recall, the National Weather Service, watching that channel, this is the National Weather Service, they kept talking about our county individually.
Yes.
It was like, it's landing in Cape May County. And I don't know about you, but someone that lives in Cape May County by the shore, I sat here in my family room wondering, what does that look like? Because I don't know. People were being evacuated, mandatory evacuation. We obviously are not on the barrier islands. We are offshore. So, and my husband's in emergency management. So we really weren't going to leave anyway. I wasn't leaving without him and all of that. But until you've been through it, now we did not get hit. We got hit, but just by a tail, I think.
Right.
I'm not sure how they describe it. But a lot of folks on the barrier islands and further north and into New York were really hit.
That's right.
And I know just by the pictures I've seen, their lives have been changed forever in a way that can never go back to the way it was, because many people have lost everything, their homes, some even family members. And I've been thinking so much, because all the emphasis was on our particular county. First of all, by the grace of God, I just thank God that it missed us. But more than that, it has given me a new sense of that could have been me, that could have been us, and this urgency inside of my heart that, you know what, we need to do better for people that this did affect. And I guess when things, unless they're in your backyard, sometimes we're so far removed, oh, look at those fires out there, what a shame for them. But to see it so close to home.
Right.
I mean, have you heard any stories of different people around our area that had been hit or displaced? Or
yeah, I actually have somebody staying across the street from me at because in Cape May is, if you go into the Coast Guard, you will go through Cape May. It's the Coast Guard training base. And there are a family that moved in across the street from us that are in the Coast Guard, and they took somebody in who was on the barrier island of Wildwood, and their apartment complex burned down because the storm came in and caused problems. And and I've visited with various people here and there. And of course, we were without power for a while. And it is funny how you see it on TV and it can seem so cold and sterile. But to see the beach you go to every summer on TV and they're standing there doing a news report from it, it makes it completely different.
Yeah. Just the whole idea of something that catastrophic, people literally left with nothing. We have in our own county, we have 200 families that are being housed at hotels that had to come from Seaside Heights. Is that where it was?
That was one of the, I'm not sure where they're all from, but that's one of the hardest hit areas.
Yeah, and they've come without anything, and they're in little motel rooms. And I try to visualize that, and it's tough. It's really tough. And one of the things we participated in recently was a drive, a community drive for canned goods and, you know, non-perishable items for hurricane relief. And that was another eye-opener. Again, I've never been involved in something like that. And it was just posted on social media, you know, Facebook. It wasn't, it was, I think, 3 day in advance people had posted it or reshared it. And I went to that. And Scott, I will tell you, that was probably one of the most gratifying slash emotional events I have been to in years, to see the outpouring of a community. And the community that had this huge outpouring from is not a rich community. They're...
Yeah, I think it's important for people to know. I mean, because we talk about living at a beach community or a resort town, you need to realize that there are still areas here, and not everybody's well off. In fact, the reality is once all the vacationers leave, mm-hmm. so does the money. Mm-hmm. And so really what's left behind is a really interesting dynamic. And so the community you're talking about is probably would be considered one of the poor, not necessarily the with the most resources of any sort.
Absolutely. And you could see it. And they came in droves with items, not used items, items they had bought. They had went out and bought blankets and baby goods. And what was so emotionally touching to see little children coming in with their mommies with a brand new jacket on a hanger or their own brand new boots that were theirs and they wanted to give them up to somebody else. And that was another eye-opener. And I just feel that this whole idea of where do we go from here to encourage people, to help people? God allows things to happen. I don't know why, and I can't explain that. I'm not a theologian. But I know this. It's an opportune time for God's people to step in and encourage and help and do what they can with other people.
Yeah, and I'd like to really hit on that because, and this will get me in trouble, but I'm just going to say it. We're in a very dangerous place, especially as a church, if we step aside and think that the government's going to do it all or mm-hmm. that the government should do it all. And that's just not the way God designed it. It is about the local church. It is about neighbors stepping up and helping neighbors. Mm-hmm. That's our opportunity we have, is mm-hmm. to come together, forget about all the differences, and let's make a difference here. Let's go help those people who are stressed out, worn out, have nothing, don't know if they have anything left, can't get into their houses, may have lost everything. They've lost their rental, so now they don't have a place to rent. Now we get the opportunity to step in and even give them some kind of companionship and conversation.
Absolutely. Can you imagine really being put into a motel / hotel room for more than a while with a family?
Yeah.
I mean, it's very distressing. I have a friend who works in New York City, and he said right now it's like two alternative worlds. There's the world of Manhattan, certain parts that are like nothing's happened. And then there's the parts of New York that is like right now existing as a third world country. The water's contaminated. The electric's still not on. Now, I don't know when this program is going to air. And really, it's irrelevant because what we want to talk about is the whole idea of when disaster strikes, what are we obliged to do? And how is it as Christians, can we take what God has blessed us with and now become more other-oriented? I know it's funny because we're doing this series in our church called
Crazy Love.
Crazy Love by Francis Chan. And interestingly, we were doing it before the hurricane. It was, and I actually had taught that study last year with women. So the cool part of that and the trying part of that is that Francis Chan, it tries to really put into perspective what a Christian looks like. And oftentimes it's not what modern day Christianity looks like. It mm-hmm. really is about dying to yourself and allowing your needs to be second to your neighbors and getting out there and truly making a difference and making disciples and encouraging community. And then this happened. And so I'm reading the book and I'm looking at my comfortable life and my nice, beautiful house and how I love my quiet time. And I'm seeing all these displaced families and my heart is breaking and it's torn and it's coinciding mm-hmm. with you're here for a short season of this earthly life. Well, can you do something more? And I will tell you, there's nothing that fills you more than giving, not taking, because taking doesn't fill.
Right.
Taking leaves you wanting more.
Mm-hmm.
But giving, that just that day at the firehouse was emotional. When I came home, I could barely tell my husband about it because it felt so right to be doing something to help these people. And I think God made us that way and we're designed to represent him.
It's kind of funny because there was a study that I read, being somebody who's struggled with depression and talked to a lot of people with depression. And I read a study and it kind of upset me, but it's very true. a lot of people who struggle with depression are very self-centered, meaning they're focused on their problems or their issues. And one of the things that they talk about to have better mental health is to actually go serve someone else. Wow. Focus on their needs and their problems and taking care of them. Mm-hmm. And it really is true. Now, I get energized from being around people, so that's one thing for me. Mm-hmm. But it's a whole nother thing in a deeper level and much more fulfilling to be able to give. And you don't get the same thing when you're receiving all the time.
That's the example we saw in the Lord, for sure. Mm-hmm. And he was always, you know, never too tired to stop and speak to people. He would have to actually be pulled away from the crowds just to get some alone time with his Father in heaven, or he would have been burned out. But
Right. It's
such an opportune time to do something when something happens like this. And I just feel that the questions come up, you know, why me, or why our area and another area was unscathed? Why would God allow that? They're the bigger questions that are really hard to answer. I mean, what do you say when people ask that?
Yeah.
Why does God allow?
An interesting thing about this storm, and then I'll put this in context, is originally the track was going south of us to Delaware, which is across the bay from us. And I told my family, I said, do we want to stay? And we all agreed to stay. I said, I really believe it's going to either go out to sea, or I don't think it's going to take the hard left that they think it is. Well, sure enough, it did. And as it started coming left, it kept moving south. It had moved north. So it was really coming. Sometimes they were showing it coming, you know, right at us.
Right at us.
And if there's a good place to be in a hurricane, it's south of the eye. In fact, if you're in the eye of the hurricane, the best place is south side of the eye. Well, the eye came ashore just miles from us here, just north of us. So in a sense, you go, wow, we really did just miss the brunt of all this. So why is it that our brothers and sisters and friends in Ocean City, who mm-hmm. is, how far is that, 20 miles, if not less?
20 miles, yep.
They're still screaming and yelling because they're not allowed back to their homes yet.
Right.
Some of these people haven't been in their home now since the storm, which is well over, what are we going on, over a week and a half. And then we just got snow yesterday, which is bizarre for this time of year here. And it's freezing cold temperatures, and people who are still in their homes don't have electricity. And why them? Why not us? I know that there have been different times in my life I've gone, God, why? And just like we had the nor'easter after the hurricane, you go, when is it going to stop in the midst of this? I will tell you this. I tell people, you know, over the years I've grown a lot having my own storms. I've told people, be encouraged and watch for what God's doing through it. Mm. Oh, sure, I know, and I don't like this statement, but things happen for a reason. I mean, we can keep saying that, but in order to give it purpose, well, I mean, let's look at what you've been through, Anne. The death of your son and one in prison for taking another human being's life. I mean, there's been stuff in your life that has just been grievous, but you've turned it to where you're being used for the Lord mm-hmm. and helping others. It's hard in the midst of things to help people understand that there is, and I don't even want to say purpose, but there is a reason for it.
Yeah.
Some of that is up to us. You can get in the middle of a storm and fold, or you can get in the middle of a storm and say, okay, let me pull up my bootstraps.
Yeah.
And I guess I would say this. When I watch some of those newscasts, like from Cape May, which is just
personal.
Miles from me.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
When they showed my beach that I go to and they showed some damage, you know, the rest of that beachfront, I drove down the next day. Mm-hmm. Wasn't supposed to. Had a chaplain ID for the police. I went in and I wanted to see how things were and mm-hmm. Maybe see a few people I know. And the rest of that street was actually decent. But what they did is they showed the worst part.
Right.
The news really shows, and we do that in the storms of our lives. Mm-hmm. We can get just fixated on how awful things are. And God doesn't want us to do that. That's not a godly habit. Mm-hmm. You know, we are to, and I can attest to this, we are to trust, and storms make us trust at a whole new level.
Wow, that's true.
It brings about a development of faith in us. It's at a whole new level.
Well, I know a lot of our friends up north who have lost their electric still at this point, but they say, at least we have our house. And then mm-hmm. someone else that lost their house says, at least I have my family. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then there's those that have lost family in this. I think, I don't know what the numbers are now. Last toll I heard was like 140.
Wow.
Of people that were, and still somebody's not identified yet, and that doesn't.
And I just saw 2 days ago before the nor'easter hit, they were afraid because they were going door to door.
Yes.
And they were afraid that as they did, what were they going to find? If somebody couldn't get out or didn't get out, and then it was too late and whatever, you're going to find.
Yep.
The other thing that's sad is so many people put space heaters in and asphyxiate themselves.
Absolutely.
And you go, you know, there's all those things. And
so many. And the bottom line is, I mean, there's a famous preacher who said, no preacher is so up to date as the one who speaks to aching hearts. And you know what? Sometimes we think we got to know all the theology and we got to know, but probably the best ministers are ones who have walked through troubled times and minister to those in troubled times. And, you know, sometimes it's just giving someone, like you said today, you know, helping them up and encouraging them and providing these basic provisions. I mean, there is a scripture that they ask the Lord says about feeding the poor and visiting the prisoners and clothing the naked. And so they said, wait, when did we do that, Lord? And the Lord answers, as much as you've done it to the least of the brethren, then you've done it for me.
Yeah.
And they're like, we never did that for God. But no, see, that's the point. When we do it as unto God for people, then we are doing it for God. And I think it's important that in times like this, we pull together as Christians in a community and we let our lights shine in ways, practical ways. We don't have to worry whether they're going to church, whether they get the gospel. We need to be the gospel. We need to be the good news that shows up and feeds and clothes and encourages families. So there's so many valuable lessons that we can learn from storms. And like you said, look, troubles really reveal what's inside us. And you could either raise your fist.
Yeah, we can skip this.
Yeah. Why? You have some bad stuff in you, buddy?
Well, I know that, too.
I know it, too.
I've even taught that. And the saddest thing is that there have been times when I've weathered storms and I didn't like what I saw in myself.
Oh, for sure.
And so if
Me
God,
too.
I guess, didn't allow anything else for any other reason, but maybe to have some things happen so you go, listen, let's talk about this, this issue. Let's talk about you. And so this storm you're in or the problem you're having is sometimes, in fact, I'd say often, God is using it to mold and shape us, if not all the time.
Absolutely.
And for us to take some time and look at ourselves and go,
That's true. I definitely know that in my own life, that trials reveal your character. And, you know, no one likes to go through stuff like this, but it's just really important for people to understand that you got to find hope in it. You got to go on. There's that one story in my mind of that one mom that had her 2-year-old and her 4-year-old. I think it was a beachfront property and they didn't leave and then decide the water's coming up and she goes outside with them and is hit by a wave and both those kids are taken from her arms and they found them dead. And all I kept thinking was the despair of that mom. I mean, if you fix your mind on that, you can't even breathe. You can't. And how do you minister to someone like that? I don't know how you minister. There's not the right words. There's not
there
the right.
Mm-hmm.
But all I know is for someone that is friends with someone who had devastating loss like that, sometimes it's just being there. Just being there.
There is a story in the book that's When Bad Things Happen to Good People. It's by Rabbi Kushner. And I would strongly advise anybody pick it up. It's an easy read. But one of the illustrations he had in there, when I read it, just was so incredibly powerful. And it was about a little boy who his mother said, we need you to go to the store to get some items for dinner. And so he left, went to the store, but he was delayed in getting home. So, of course, by the time he got home, people were hungry and they were upset. And the mother said, where in the world have you been? And the son looked up and said, well, Mom, there was a boy whose bicycle was broken. The mother was upset and said, like you know how to fix a bike. And the son said, oh, I didn't fix the bike. I just sat down and cried with him.
Oh.
And, you know, in the reality, it takes me back to when my father went to prison and my family fell apart and there was a youth worker. And she and her husband were really like favorites of mine. I really enjoyed them. And one day she called me and said, I'm picking you up. I'm going to take you to dinner anywhere you want to go. And we went out to dinner and we sat there. And I just remember bleeding my heart.
Sure.
I didn't expect to. And she just listened.
Sure.
Probably one of the first times in my life I had somebody that I encountered who didn't want to fix everything and have every answer.
Just listen.
Yep. And so a couple weeks ago when I had the opportunity to minister to a 19-year-old girl who lost her baby, stillbirth, I don't have those answers.
Right.
I don't know why. Thank God her and her family have a strong faith because it really made the funeral a lot easier. Mm. But when I stood up there with confidence and said, I don't have the answer for you.
Mm-hmm.
but I know who does. And that makes a whole lot difference than people I've seen come in. And when I was with a friend of mine who buried two sons, premature babies, and we buried one, and then a little while later, a month later or so, buried the other. It was horrendous. And we talked later, and he said, you know, some people say the dumbest things because they have no clue what you're going through.
Yeah. Oh, it's true.
And I learned from that experience. You know what? A lot of times people don't want the answers.
Yeah.
But they sure do want to know someone's there and that they're not alone.
That's key, honestly, to just be there for someone, make that call, show up. You know, it's funny, like you were saying, your experience with sorrow and then someone stepped up, you remember that. These experiences that we have in our own life really make us more in tune to other people's hurts and sufferings. And I have a little story about the storm. My niece, Deanna, lives by the bay. And every night they take the kids down the bay. So they know the bay like the back of their hand. I mean, they're there all the time. Well, the day of that story, they decided to just go check out the bay that early evening. And the bay had waves like they had never seen before.
Yeah.
And it was at that moment. Now, her husband also is in emergency management. He had to stay in town. But it was at that very moment that she went from, oh, we're having a hurricane, you know, lackadaisical, to, oh my gosh, something very supernaturally unnatural is happening right down the street from my house. Since she was already stuck in town, the evacuation was over. She put life jackets out just in case for her kids. And she was crying doing that.
Wow.
The thought that if we get washed away, I need to put life jackets on my children. And Deanna was one of the young moms, very instrumental in this gathering of a lot of these young moms together who are involved with this hurricane relief, which is so beautiful to see this younger generation stepping forward. But I think a lot of those moms, the empathy really has come from the fact that it almost hit our front door.
Right.
And for many, it did hit their front doors. So there is something to going through things, whether it's vicariously or in your own life, to go through and to really understand pain for pain's sake and to know how to minister to people.
Right. It gives you a whole different perspective. And there's a lot of people I meet that I wouldn't want to go through what they're going through so I can identify with them because they've been through horrendous stuff. And I think one of the things that is encouraging about this is if you're going through a storm in your life, whether it's weather-related and you're displaced, whether it's as obvious as that, or you're in a home situation or a relationship situation, or your family's falling apart, or you know something that's abusive or painful, you have a loved one in prison or died unexpectedly. I mean, these are storms that come in life. You may not see them forecast on a weather station. You may not have even had warnings that they're coming. But those are the places where God can enter in and begin to work not only in your life and helping you grow and change, but also using you in other people's lives.
That's so true. And, you know, it's during those times that we learn lessons we never, ever could have learned anywhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt says that all the time. He's learning in this little prison box how to be patient, self-controlled, and humble, and meek. And it's like putting somebody in a fishbowl in an experiment and regulating all the conditions, knowing what the outcome will be. Well, that's what God does to us sometimes. He puts us in these environments that he is at work. He is at work. And I want to say to anybody, even if as horrible a place that you might be, that God does love you and he does care and he's not a mean God and it's not his idea to hurt us.
Yeah.
But it is his idea to come alongside us when we are in pain. And whatever it is, if there's pain in your life, that you could just turn to God and see that he is real.
Yeah.
And hopefully, if for those of us that are Christians, that we could step forward and be the face and the voice and the hands and the feet of God for hurting people.
Yeah, we often are the first to blame God when something goes wrong, but the last to celebrate him when things are going well. And I know in my own life, the only times I've ever really grown have been the tough times. And so going through tough times is really the indication that God is doing something in your life. Whether you like it or not, it doesn't feel good. I understand all those things. But I will tell you this about the storm. I have people who retired on both sides of me. And I don't think very many people have any left on my street. They all said, well, the last time we evacuated, it wasn't a big deal.
Right.
That's dangerous right there.
That is dangerous.
But I actually took comfort in the fact that my neighbors were still here going through the storm mm-hmm. with me.
That's a great point.
If they needed something or if I needed something, we could have gone either way. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it, but there was comfort, even in our misery. When it got a little cold that night and we went to bed and didn't have power, I still sat there going, you know, but I know my neighbors who retired are here. Mm. In fact, a lot of people on our street were here, and we were going to be able to ride it out together.
Well, I saw in New York City one of the high-rise complexes that had no heat or anything. The girl said, I don't even lock my door now. We've become so neighborly to one another in this building that I'm not even locking my door because we walk in and help each other. And what an amazing opportunity that is for community to come together. And maybe we have, I'm not talking about the hurricane anymore, but just the mentality of social media, in a way, it joins us together, but in a way, it separates us. So much easier to send a text. No interaction. Email, text. Nobody wants to really hang out.
That's why I only text you. I don't. Yeah. Really.
And that's why I don't answer your texts.
Yeah. But what a great point. And God has designed us to be interdependent, not independent. Mm. And He's also not designed us. We do not function well as a human being. You can see this around the world when we're dependent on a government. When we become dependent that someone else is going to take care of us, we do not function well. And that is a completely different context than when we're in the church and we're allowing people who are close to us, who love us, who know us, because they're the ones that know our junk, and they can look at us and say, no, man, you're being lazy. I did this for you, but you've got to get up and do this, you know, or they're the ones that can get in your face and spur you on.
Absolutely. And when you say church, you mean the body of Christ,
Church Universal,
wherever people are going to church. It's not the building, it's the Christians.
Yeah.
So I totally agree. And I think that we just know that if you're out there, so many people are praying and have come together because of this hurricane. So as you said there, that's a positive thing. And I see community really impacting community.
And I'd encourage you that if you're going through a storm in your life and you feel alone, reach out. Somebody else has gone through what you've gone through to help you through what you're going through. And you're going through what you're going through to help somebody else get through it. So don't give up.
Absolutely. And we end all of our broadcasts with a really favorite saying from the Bible that is true. And if you've ever been still, you'll know it, because it is Psalm 46:10, and it says, be still and know that I am God.